In many ways, I'm sure the Paralympics will do so again, and they're almost as big an event as the Olympics, with as many people on the Olympic Park. It's, I think, shown off fantastic sport from around the world, great success for Team GB, but it's also shown what Britain can do, and it's brought out the best of the civil service, brought out the best of the organisers, brought out the best of the volunteers to put on a fantastic face to the world.
£9.3 billion budget, which was quite a long way ahead of the, what, £3.4 billion of the original estimate. Has it been worth that money?
Well, of course, 75% of that budget goes into regenerating the Olympic Park in East London. One of my best memories of the Games is walking around, seeing the park full of people and contrasting it with when I walked around a derelict site 6 years ago with mountains of rubbish and poor transport links. And the bulk of that public investment has gone into creating a great base for the future that will go on to provide communities, provide jobs, provide offices and factories for the future. So in those terms, I think the budget has been worth it. And if you read the response across the world, people have seen a new face of Britain. They're congratulating us on our organisation, on the creativity that has gone into it, and on the public face of the volunteers.
And, of course, on the sporting achievement, which you've already referred to, those, 29 gold medals and total of 42 medalists in the table as a result of their Olympic performance. The Independent on Sunday suggests this morning that not all of those Olympians this time round can expect to get gongs for their golds.
Well, that's a matter for the now Independent Honours Committee. That's actually chaired by Seb Coe, has other Olympians and Paralympians on, like Tanny Gray-Thompson and Tessa Sanderson. So I don't think they'll in any way be undervaluing sporting achievement, but they will be looking like elsewhere in the honours system to make sure it's not just a sort of an automatic gong, but really recognises and rewards sustained effort and contribution and putting something back.
So just to be clear, under the rules, it's not merely your performance on the field that makes you eligible for some kind of public recognition of an honour.
Well, that's right. And it's the contribution over a career and over a lifetime. It's how that's sustained. It's whether you put something back. But also all those behind the scenes, the volunteers, the organisers, the coaches, both at the elite level and at grassroots level. The great thing about the way in which the honours system is now underpinned by independent committees is that it is, at the heart of it, it is sports people, men and women, sports coaches, who are making these recommendations and who are making the decisions. So I'm sure they won't in any way underplay the achievement of our athletes.
I suppose one group of people who might not be nominated for a gong this time round are the management team at G4S. The Home Office is responsible for security, but ultimately you're accountable for the budget. Have you yet established why, when you asked G4S for more guards, the management costs of its contract went from £7 million to £60 million?
Well, they had to recruit a very large number of extra guards. Now, of course,
which they failed to do, of course.
Indeed, and that they've publicly recognised that, and that's why we then had to trigger the contingency arrangements that we had behind that, and the army played a fantastic role in providing a very effective but also a very human face to the security of the Games. But also behind that, we have a contract which has in it clear provisions. We don't pay for any guard who was not provided by G4S, and we can also reclaim the costs, the extra costs that government incurred in providing the army to play the part that the G4S were not able to play. So,
do you have any idea of how much that could be?
Well, that's for negotiation with G4S after the Games. We won't pay a penny for guards who weren't provided, and we will ensure that the full cost to the public purse providing the army will be recouped. We will certainly be pursuing, and LOCOG on our behalf, who hold the contract, will be aggressively pursuing the full recovery of the costs of the government incurred on that.
You've been holding responsibility for the Olympics, supervising the budget, what, for 6 years now. Do you think that has been helpful, having the sort of the same person and indeed the same department with a watching brief through all that period, through a change of government, through the developments, the ups and downs that are inevitably a big project of this size goes through?
Well, it's been a team effort, and I think the continuity of the team at the core of this in DCMS and elsewhere has been absolutely central to success. It's one of the lessons of delivering big and successful projects anywhere, maintaining a continuity of those involved. And actually, we've been fortunate in having continuity on the political side, with just two ministers involved since the bid was first conceived in 2002, Tessa Jowell and Jeremy Hunt, and just two permanent secretaries, my predecessor and myself, involved. And the core team at the heart of it that was established, particularly once the bid was won in 2006 and 2007, has remained right at the heart of it and has seen the project through. And I think that's been key to success.
It does make you rather unusual these days in Whitehall. I think you're only one of only three permanent secretaries of a department who's still in post. There's been a tremendous amount of churn. That must make it quite difficult for Whitehall if the top people are changing so regularly.
Well, these things come and go. You go through periods when there's more turnover than others. I've been very fortunate in being able to work with a strong and established team. I think it is one of the strengths of the British civil service that we are impartial, that we serve under governments and parties of different persuasions. And we've been very fortunate with the Olympic project that it's always been pursued on a strongly cross-party basis. That cross-party consensus has been really important.
Despite the Olympics, it's not been an entirely easy year for your department. I mean, you were in the eye of the storm over relations between Mr. Hunt's special advisor, who had to resign, and News International. Do you think the department is through those difficulties, or do you think unanswered questions remain?
Well, it's been a really demanding year of delivery for us. We're one of the smallest Whitehall departments, but I think we've demonstrated that the impact we can have is not related to size of numbers or size of budget. We've delivered successfully on the Olympic Games. We're looking forward to the Paralympics. We've also delivered successfully on another major project, the digital switchover, which has involved every television set in every household changing. That also delivered on time and under budget. We've also been involved in the government support for the Jubilee celebrations, as well as all else that has gone on. So this has been a really busy and demanding year. We've got a busy agenda going forward, looking forward to our role in rolling out broadband across the country, seeing the Olympic legacy through, and many other areas.
What are you expecting from the Leveson report when it emerges next month? Because the judge himself has said he would be surprised if he went down the route that sought to recommend a system that replicated Ofcom. So I wonder what the sort of implications that might be left for DCMS in the light of that.
Well, I don't know what the judge will say. I'm expecting a very thorough and serious report that takes account of all the evidence that he's heard and recommends a way forward. And obviously, government will consider that really carefully when it comes out.
Are you worried that he might choose to focus on what happened in the department and the relations with News International?
Well, his main focus is on the press and on the press regulation and the implications that has for the relationship between the press, the public, the press, the police, the press and politicians. He's an independent judge, and I'll look forward to reading his report when it's ready.
It's important, though, isn't it, that the department in charge of media regulation is not perceived as being partial?
Well, I think all the evidence that we laid out on that, and I gave evidence myself as well as the Secretary of State, demonstrated very strongly that at every stage we followed the independent advice of the regulators, Ofcom and the OFT, and were rigorous in always seeking that advice and always following it.
You talked about the future for the department and what you have to do. There are some who have suggested that once the Olympics are out the way, there won't be much point to DCMS. Indeed, David Ruffley, a member of the Treasury Committee, was saying a couple of days ago, some of us think we should close it down.
Well, I think the Olympics and the Paralympics have been a fantastic demonstration of the importance and the power of not just sport, but also culture. There's been a fantastic cultural Olympiad. It's brought the focus of the world onto the UK. It's demonstrated the efficiency and success of British construction, of British organisation, of British business, to the world. It's been a great showcase to the world and has been a great showcase for our export industries. And that's what DCMS is about. We are a department with a central role on the growth agenda, whether it's in building out the technological infrastructure for the future, broadband, whether it's in supporting our creative industries in the media, in culture and elsewhere, whether it's in setting the right framework for the future that balances freedom of expression with appropriate controls across the media and the communications world. So there is a demanding agenda, and actually these we're responsible, when you add together the tourist industry, the media industry, the creative industries, we're responsible for something like 15% of the UK economy, and the part of it that is growing and has best export potential for the future. And this really does add together, and the Olympics have demonstrated not just that the Olympics provide a great sporting achievement, but that they provide a really public showcase for the best of British creativity and the best of British business and the best of British organisation for the world, which is so critical to our growth for the future.
So your best bet is DCMS will still be around after the reshuffle?
Oh, I'm absolutely confident of that. We've been centre stage this year, but not just us. We've had to work, we've had to provide the lead over something like 19 different government departments that have been involved in issuing visas, providing security clearances, manning the border, helping with the transport planning, and many other ways in which civil servants behind the scenes have worked to make the game such a success.